If you would take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter number 6, the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. A couple of weeks ago, I felt led of the Lord to preach out of the latter part of this chapter about the disciples being out on the sea and how that Jesus came walking to them on the storm. And I've been doing my devotional reading. In Mark, and just kind of went back to chapter number 6, and so God laid some thoughts on my heart that I'd like to share with you. I want to thank the Lord. Lord, I want to thank you for lightening the rain so that we could hear your word today. God's word is important. It's very important, and I take it as very important. It's certainly made a difference in my life. And I believe that you're here this morning because it's made a difference in your life. God's Word changes lives. And whether you have chosen to drive in today or whether you have chosen to tune in by live stream, Facebook, or YouTube, I trust that you know what it is to have your life changed by the Word of God. It's certainly an experience that you will never get over. And I thank God for it. Mark chapter number 6. I want to read the first six verses of Mark chapter 6, and then I'll get into the message that God's laid on my heart. And he went out from thence and came into his own country. And of course, this is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joses, and Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk, and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages teaching." Father, again, I want to thank you for lightening the rain. I pray that you would continue to allow it to hold off until your word is gone forth here. Put your hand over this property, I pray. And Lord, I pray that as the word goes forth, it would fall upon good soil, that it might take seed and do a work in the hearts of your people now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Mark chapter 6, it's full of great truths, as is all the Word of God. I want to get right into the message that God's laid on my heart. I find an occasion here where Jesus goes back to his hometown. In verse number 1, it says that he went out from thence and he came into his own country. And, of course, this is referring to Nazareth. And there's three things that I see that happen here when the Lord Jesus went back to Nazareth. Now, he had been there on a couple of other occasions. This may have been his last time passing through, but he went back. And as he went back, I think it teaches us some things when we look at the time formerly that he went through prior to this time. And in order to do that, I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter number 4. In Luke chapter number 4, we find where Jesus had gone through Nazareth previously. And as he was there in Nazareth, something not so good happened as he went into the sanctuary. Now, I'm glad to tell you that great things have happened to me when I enter into the sanctuary. My life has been blessed by church. Now, I hear a lot of people saying, the church has left the building, and you don't need a building to have church, and we are the church. And listen, a lot of that is so to some degree. But I thank God for the local church. And I'm so thankful for a place that God's given us to meet. Even if we don't meet in, we can meet at. And I'm thankful that we have that opportunity. And really, it's a privilege that God has given us. When Jesus in Luke chapter number 4 had entered into the synagogue there in Nazareth, if you'll look in verse number 16 of Luke chapter number 4, it says, "And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" Now, when the Lord Jesus had read these scriptures, the scripture says that he closed the book and he gave it back in verse number 20 to that one that to minister, and he sat down. And the Bible says that the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. They were amazed. They were astonished that someone in their area, that this young lad that had grown up in their community, spoke with such force and with such authority. And the scripture says that as the Lord Jesus in verse number 21 said, in verse number 21, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." It did something to those people that were sitting in that synagogue that moved them to an emotion that you wouldn't expect that they would have been moved to there in the synagogue. The Bible says in verse number 22 that they all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, and I want you to take special note to this, is this, in verse number 22, is they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Well, I want to say it's not. And we'll see in just a moment where they got this wrong. They were not accounting that Jesus was God in the flesh. They were thinking, well, he's just another man. You know, is this not just another man? Is this not just another man sent from God, another prophet? Yes, maybe a man of God, but not a man who is God. And so they got that part wrong, and because they did, they took offense to what he had spoken. And in verse number 23, he spoke some other things to them. And if you look down in verse number 28, when he got through speaking those things, the scripture says in verse 28, "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath." I mean, they were in a rage. "And they took him to the brow," the scripture says in verse 29, "of the city, to the hill there, and they were going to cast him over headlong." They're going to kill him. They're going to take his life. It infuriated them that such a one would stand up and say that these scriptures are fulfilled in your ears today. And so this was the time that he had visited Nazareth prior to the time that we read in your hearing and that you read along with me in Mark chapter 6. Now let's go back there to Mark chapter 6, and then we can see the first thing that I want to call to your attention, and that is the reason of his visit. Why did Jesus go back? Why did the Lord Jesus go back through Nazareth? You see the way they treated him. After he stood and read the scripture, they had total disrespect for him as a person. They had total disregard for his message. They had care for his life. They were going to take it. They were full of wrath. And yet the scripture says in Mark chapter 6, if you found your way back there, in verse number 1, it says that Jesus passed by that way again. He went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. He went back through Nazareth. Now, why did he do that? Well, there's two things that I think that we would have to agree with that we know about our God that we need to be reminded about this morning as to why Jesus went back. First of all, I'm glad that God is a patient God. God is patient. And it seems like that we forget this in our lives, how patient God is. Now, we're not patient. We're very impatient people. As a matter of fact, we're so impatient, we don't even show patience toward God and what God is doing in our lives. And yet we see this attribute of God that oftentimes is overlooked, and that is that God is patient. God was patient with those people in this town in Nazareth. Jesus was patient with them. Jesus was thinking, no doubt, perhaps, though, that there was no one in Nazareth that wanted to hear the message when I passed through previously, maybe now that word has gotten out, maybe that my ministry has expanded and my teachings have gone about, and that more and more are hearing about me, just maybe, there's one person that will give ear to my message this time. I am so glad for the opportunities that God has given us in His patience. Maybe there's someone here this morning and God has been dealing with you and dealing with you and dealing with you about a matter. And it may be a matter, it may not even be about sin. Maybe it is about sin. Maybe God's been dealing with you about a sin in your life. But maybe God's been dealing with you about witnessing or being a missionary or being a part of ministry, or something that God has been impressing on your heart and you have turned him away until the fact of where you have become numb to what God is saying. And just one more time, God has passed by your little town again and said, I want to give you one more opportunity because I love you that much. I am so thankful that God doesn't give up on us, aren't you? Amen. The patience of God, brethren. The patience of God. Can I say that not one of us would be here in this parking lot today? Not one of us would be listening by YouTube or by Facebook live stream if it were not for the patience of Almighty God in our lives. God is patient, and I bless His holy name for it. The patience of God. Jesus passed back through the town of Nazareth. And the result of Him passing back through, the reason that He passed back through is because God is patient. And so if you're listening today by live stream, or if you're here on the property today, and God would whisper in your heart, God would speak to you and remind you of something that He's been dealing with you about, I don't want you to presume upon the patience of God. I want you to understand that God, yes, He's passed by this way again, but there's no guarantee that He's going to continue to do that. And so I want to encourage you, if God is moving, if God is speaking to your heart, as I said, as far as I can tell, this is the last time Jesus would pass by this way again, right here in Nazareth in Mark chapter number 6. And so I'm not saying that God's through with you. I'm not saying that God's never going to pass by your way again. I'm actually saying that God is patient, but we should not presume upon the patience of God. The second thing that I want you to understand that I believe is a reason that Jesus passed this way is the persistence of God. You see, Jesus didn't give up on them. Not only was He patient, He went back. These were a people that wanted to lay hold of Him, take Him outside the brow of the city, and throw Him headlong over the hill. They wanted to kill Him. And yet, the love of Jesus would not let Him go. I am so thankful. The love of God will not let us go. You know, I think about when I was lost without Christ. And I know that if you're saved, you think about these things too. How that God pursued me. Now, brethren, I wasn't pursuing God, all right? I was pursuing God about like a bank robber does a policeman at the time of a bank robbery. I wasn't pursuing God, but I'm glad God pursued me. And I'm glad that God pursues man. I'm glad that God will come after us. Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, the Son of Man hath come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm glad that God pursues man, aren't you? And here Jesus is passing back through, pursuing these people that wanted to take His life. But can I tell you that there's something greater than that? Jesus pursued me, and I was the purpose that cost Him His life. Jesus pursued you, and it was your sin and my sin that was the purpose of Him dying and giving His life. Oh, I'm so glad that love will not let us go. But listen, God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So here's two reasons that Jesus in Mark chapter number 6 came thence in verse number 1 and went out into His own country, and His disciples followed. The Bible says in verse number 2 of chapter 6, when the Sabbath day was come, He began to teach in the synagogue. I'm glad that Jesus identifies Himself with the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. You're here today because of that. We're not here for entertainment. We don't come to church for entertainment. I don't have a show to put on. I don't have any magic tricks. We don't have really, listen, we don't have any kind of circus ponies. I'm not opposed to events. Don't misunderstand me. We do things at Vacation Bible School, and you're aware of that. We want to do things that would be a help in ministering to the children. But when we come to church, brethren, it's not about tricks and magic and jokes and any of those other things. We come for one purpose, and this purpose is right here. This book right here, brethren, is what church is all about. This book right here is what my life's all about. I want to build my life on this book. How about you? I want this book to be the sole purpose of what I do in life. My life, I want it to be wrapped around this book. I want God's Word to be so entrenched in my heart that what comes out of me will be in accordance to what is written in this book. Now, Jesus went back through in verse number 2, and the Scripture says, of chapter number 6, that he taught them, and many, as they heard him, watch this, they were astonished. So now we're going to move from the reason that Jesus went back to his hometown to the result. What happened this next time? We saw the previous time, it did not have a good ending. All right? Let's see what happens this time. He goes back through his hometown of Nazareth again. In verse number 2, the Scripture says, when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished. Now, I like that word. They were astonished. That means they were taken back. They just couldn't believe that someone from their hometown spoke like this. Now, they were taken back the last time they heard him speak, but notice what it says this time. They were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him that such mighty works are wrought by his hands? They had heard what was going on in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they said, wow, we overlooked this guy. And I'm not saying that in any way sacrilegiously. They said, this young man grew up in our community. They even said, if you'll look in verse number 6, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? Now, they had said previously the son of Joseph. But they said, is not this the son of Mary? Some believe that Joseph at this time had passed off and the carpenter business had been shut down. I don't know. But I do know this. I know that Jesus left an impression on them that made them begin to wonder, what are we missing? How did we miss it? And this is what I thought about when I read this scripture. I thought about this. I thought about, if we're not careful, brethren, we too will miss it. We will become so familiar with what we're doing here today, with what we've been doing in our church buildings, with our ministry, with our reading of the Bible, with all that God is doing in and through our lives, through Fellowship Baptist Church as a collective group or body of believers, but also individually in our individual ministries. We'll become so familiar with the preaching of God's Word, if we're not careful, we'll take it for granted. If we're not careful, we'll take the good preachers of our country for granted. Listen, I'm not going to say this to offend anyone, but if it offends you, I don't know that I would be sorry for what I say. I don't want to say it in a wrong attitude. But I'm not concerned about movie stars. That's not where my interest is. Rock musicians, country musicians, rap musicians, athletes. Our country's got it all backwards. We need to be praising God for men that'll stand up in any environment, in any temperature of the environment, and preach the Word of God. I thank God for pastors and for evangelists and for missionaries. We heard read this morning of folks have gone to Trinidad, folks who go to remote areas around the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, can I tell you, those are the real essentials. I'm not minimizing our food distribution places, our Walmarts, our Lowe's. I've heard that Lowe's has just been packed with business. I thank God for business and how that these businesses are thriving even in an environment like we're in. But can I tell you that the essential place in any community is the church of the living God. That's the essentials. These folks didn't realize what they had. And then Jesus spoke to them, and the Scripture says they were astonished, saying, what have we missed? What have we missed? Where did this power come from? How did this happen? Right under our noses, how did this happen? Can I tell you that you can attend church and God can be working in other people's lives and God can be doing work in other people's families? They said this in verse number 3, look at it. Is not this the carpenter? And they said the son of Mary, maybe that Joseph had passed on, or maybe he had just gotten too old to where he was no longer keeping the carpenter shop up. I'm not sure. And maybe the carpenter shop was shut down. But I want to tell you, there was a time, whether it was at this hour or later, that Jesus got out of the carpentry business. But that doesn't mean he got out of the building business. Now, please listen to me. Jesus is still building. He's building churches. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's building marriages. Some of you that are sitting here today or listening to me by live stream, your marriage was doomed and gone, all but over. But God intervened and God did a miracle in your life and in your marriage. And because of the good grace of God, you are here today rejoicing in the God of your salvation. Rejoicing that God had built your marriage and restored your home. All glory be to God for that, brethren. All glory be to God for that. We have gotten to the place where we have become familiar with the workings of God in our life. God help me and God help you and God help us not to forget the goodness of God toward our lives and become familiar with it as these in this small community of Nazareth, to where they wake up one day and say, how did we miss it? It was right under our nose. We could have had this all along. There'll be folks that'll be sitting in church 6 months from now who will be right in this category. They've been folks 6 months previous from now, years previous from now, that have sit in a church where a man of God got up full of the Spirit of God and preached the Word of God, and they were snoozing and sleeping and their minds were wandering, and God was wanting to do a work in their life because He's a patient God and because He's a persistent God, but because they took the things of God too familiar and took it for granted, they missed it. God help you and God help me not to miss it. See, God wants to do a work in your life. And God wants to do a work in my life. That's the only reason that we're still here. You understand that? God has left us here to do a work. God has a work for you. You say, well, you don't even know me. Maybe you're listening and you say, preacher, you don't even know me. I don't have to know you to know that God has something for you to do. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. All right? So, I said number one, I said that there was a reason for him passing through and making this visit in his hometown. It was to show the patience and the persistence of God, and I sure am glad that God is patient and persistent and will not let us go. Thank God for that. He's a God on a pursuit, and I'm thankful for it. Then we see the reaction. They had an opportunity, and they saw that opportunity was getting away from them when they said in verse number 2 that they were astonished. And they began to ask questions and say, how could we have missed it? How are all these things happening right under our noses here? And then Jesus said in verse number, after they said in verse number 3, let's look at one more thing here. They said, no, wait a minute. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? Now, someone has suggested, and it just might be that there's a curtness here. Okay? Now, what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean that maybe there's some sarcasm. Maybe they were going back to when Mary first announced that she was with child, and there was that little buzz in their little town that she was with child, and Joseph was saying it wasn't his. And maybe they began to talk about, well, this thing of being born of a virgin, the son of Mary. All right? And so maybe they were being sarcastic, and there's so many people that have grown sarcastic and cynical toward the things of God. And I don't want to get to that place in my life, and I don't believe you do either. But listen to me, there is an enemy who is going to do everything he can to get us to that place in our life where we begin to question the things of God and the ways of God. Now, we're in a very difficult time in our world, and this is not a time to question the ways of God. This is not a time to question what God is doing. It's a time to get in on what God is doing and allow God to use us and let us be sensitive that we would not be like these folks after the fact of God doing some mighty works in a time such as these, that we wake up on the backside of this and come to ourselves on the backside of this and realize the opportunities that God was giving us that we allowed to slip through our hands because we were entrenched in fear and entrenched in what man says instead of being sensitive to what God has said. All right? I want you to notice one more word and then I'll give you my final thought and close. All right? So we see the reason of his visit. We're looking at the reaction. Look at a final reaction. Underline the word in verse number 2, astonished. That is a reaction. But there's a second reaction. Look, if you would, the latter part of verse number 3. They were offended at him. They were not only astonished. That's a reaction. They were offended. This word offended is the same word as far as its root. When you look back at it, it means they stumbled at him. It's like a stumbling block. They were stumbling. They couldn't piece things together. All right? And so instead of seizing the opportunity and instead of, taking what God had given them an opportunity to do, they took it for granted. They became familiar with it and they missed it. And because of that, they stumbled at him. And we don't want to get to that place here at Fellowship Baptist Church, do we? We don't want to get to that place to where we stumble at what God is doing because we begin to question through cynical and cynicism and through curtness and through sarcasm. We don't want to get to the place where we miss it because we have the wrong attitude toward what God is doing. Now listen, I don't understand all that's going on. You're not going to see Pastor Freeman doing some type of Facebook live on why the coronavirus. All right? I'm sticking to this book right here. That's what we need to hear preached. And how long is coronavirus going to last? I don't know, and neither do they. All right? And what are we to get from coronavirus? That's not what our ministry is here. Our ministry is to preach this book. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So they were offended. The latter part of verse number 3, offended at him. All right? God help you and God help me not to be offended at him. Because we don't understand what he's doing. See, they had questions. And you can read those series of questions that they had. And because of that, they stumbled at him. I've learned in my life, and I can't say I always practice it, but I've learned in my life that what God does is right. And it doesn't matter if I understand it or not. It doesn't matter if I agree with it or not. God is always right. The Bible's always right. Always. Whether I agree with it or understand it, the Bible is always right. And so these folks learned a valuable lesson. Unfortunately, it was on the backside of a great opportunity that they were afforded, but because they became familiar with the works of God and with Jesus Christ and someone who was brought up right there among them. And again, brethren, how could you have it any better than this? Living in a little rural town like Madison or Greene, Culpeper, Rappahannock, some of the areas that some of you have driven from and some that you are watching from, how could you have it any better than an old country church where a man stands up and preaches the Bible? No matter who's standing behind this pulpit, there's going to be a man of God preaching the Word of God here. All right? And you get to open up your Bible and follow the man of God, preach the Word of God. And the Spirit of God speaks to our heart and He shows us kindness and mercy. And He has favor on us to lead us and guide us and to meet our every need and to walk with us and to talk with us and to tell us that we're His own. How good is that? Doesn't get any better. All right? Now finally, and I'll close with this. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. We see, first of all, we see the reason of his visit. And then we've seen the reaction. Let's look at the result. We've seen the reason. God is patient. God is patient. God is persistent. He's not going to give up. I'm glad that he's not going to give up. You know why he's not going to give up? Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God has a perfect plan for your life and mine, and he wants us to know what it is to fulfill that plan in our lives. And that's why he will not give up. He will not let us just go on our way. Oh, he'll let us go a ways along the path that is wrong before he reels us back in and teaches us valuable lessons from our going astray and sets us back on the right path. David in the Psalm put it this way, He leadeth me, he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now let's look at this final, let's look at the result. What happened as a result of Jesus making this last pass through Nazareth? What happened? Well, two phenomenal things, howbeit they were not positive. But they're things that we can learn from, and I want to give them to you just quickly. Okay, look if you would in verse number 5. And he could there do no mighty work. Now I want you to underline the word could. And notice with me that it doesn't say would. Oh, Jesus would have. He had passed through for that very purpose because he's patient and because he's persistent. He would have done mighty works there. So the Bible doesn't say that he would not do any more mighty works. He could not. They had limited the Almighty. Their unbelief was to such a level. Look at verse number 6. He marveled because of their unbelief. And there's the two results of his last visit to Nazareth. He marveled at their unbelief. And so he could not. They, in essence, tied the hands of Almighty God. Now, God knows my heart, and I think I know our flock. We do not want to tie the hands of Almighty God. We want God to do a work in our midst. We want to allow God to work freely in us and through us. We want to follow Him. We want His will to be done. Not just as a matter of some vernacular jargon. We want God's will to be done. We truly want the will of God to be done here at Fellowship Baptist Church. And in order to do that, we're going to have to exercise some faith. Because again, they didn't have the faith. They missed it. They missed the opportunity. They were astonished. They were taken back. They wasn't willing to follow Jesus. They kept him at an arm's length because they didn't understand all that he was doing, and they didn't agree with all that he was doing. So they were astonished and they were offended at him. And because of that, through their unbelief, the Bible says in verse number 5, he could there do no mighty work. You know, if there's one thing that we need to see in Madison County and Greene County, Culpeper, surrounding counties, in our state, in our country, in our world, we need to see God do a mighty work. Say amen with me, folks. If we've ever needed to see God do a mighty work, we need to see God do a mighty work. And I'm praying, asking God to do a mighty work. And I'm going to ask you to join me. Let's pray and ask God to do something mighty that only God can do. Can I tell you that I've seen people lying in hospital beds. I've seen people lying on what was presumed to be their deathbed. And I remember one occasion where there was a lady that was a member of the church I pastored in South Carolina. And she had kidney failure. And they had told her as she was going to dialysis, they said, there's no need in you coming back. And I remember when I went to see her, Sharon and I went to see her the final time when they had told her. And I'm glad that we were there because they told her, there'll be no need in you coming back because there's nothing more we can do for you. She broke down crying. She was devastated by that news. And we began to pray as the people of God. And God did a miracle in that lady's life. And she lived several years after that. Even the doctors were astonished. They were astonished. You say, preacher, why didn't God heal her before she had to have the dialysis? Because God wanted her to see, and God wanted us to see, and God wanted that community to see where Faith Baptist Church was planted in that day, that there's a God in heaven who hears and answers the prayers of His people. The doctors, the lawyers, not even the preachers can tell what God is going to do. God can do beyond that we even ask or think. And we need to see God do a mighty work. And Jesus, the scripture here says in verse number 5, he could there do no mighty work. Now watch this. Save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. You know, it's amazing what Jesus could have done when he passed back through, isn't it? What he could have done. I don't want to get to the end of my ministry and the end of my life And I don't want Fellowship Baptist Church to get to a place in our ministry to where we look back and say, what could God have done? What could have been if we would have just obeyed God and followed God and exercised our faith and did what God told us to do? If we would have just went with God, what could He have done? I don't want to get to that place. And I don't think you do either. And so we need to exercise some faith. How's your faith? How's your faith? Someone says that faith is the switch that flips on the power of God. And I believe that. When you go into a room today and you flip on the switch, just think of that. Faith is like a light switch. When you flip your faith, when you exercise your faith, it brings about the power of Almighty God. And I'm thankful that it does. What do you need? Well, we all need God to show Himself strong in our behalf, don't we? Final thought. God's going to marvel at you, and God's going to marvel at me. And it's going to be for one of two reasons. And I want you to find yourself here. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, He marveled because of their unbelief. And then He left. He went about and He taught in the villages. He marveled. There's only two times in the Bible that I can find where Jesus marveled. Here's one where He marveled at their unbelief. Turn to Matthew chapter number 8, if you would. And we have the account of the centurion's servant. And in Matthew chapter 8, we find where Jesus marveled a second time. In Mark chapter 6, He marveled because of His own hometown's unbelief. He marveled because of their unbelief. But in here, in Matthew chapter number 10, I've preached this, you've read it, you've heard it preached about the centurion's servant, and Jesus spoke with him and He said, you don't have to come to My house. I'm not even worthy. You just speak the word. You're a man of authority. And when Jesus, in verse number 10 of Matthew 8, when He heard it, when He heard the centurion's faith, when He heard it, look what it says, He marveled. And said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now Jesus is going to marvel at us today. And He's going to marvel at us moving forward. And He's even going to marvel because we have great faith. And we exercise it so that God can work in us and through us to show Himself strong in this community and surrounding communities, even around the world, through our world evangelism effort. Or Jesus is going to marvel because God has given us a great opportunity. And because of our unbelief, because of our weak faith, He's going to be limited in what He could do. And it's going to be us that ties His hands. I don't want to be guilty of tying the hands of God, do you? I don't think you do. So here's a visit that Jesus made in His hometown. I love my hometown. I do. I'm glad I live in a little quaint town just like this. And I'm sure you do too. Green, Madison. Now some of these towns are growing a little bit. But they're still really, by comparison, they're little small towns. And I'm thankful for the small towns of America. And I'm grateful for what God is doing, not just in the small towns, but in the big cities around the world. I'm just thankful for what God is doing. But for me and for this ministry, God has planted us here in this little small town because God wants to do a big work in a small town. And it's up to us. And I say we go with God. How about you? I say we go with God. I want you to bow your head with me. Today, I spoke about Jesus revisiting a place where He had already visited. Maybe today you got another visit. Maybe God rung your number. God spoke to you because He had been speaking to you about a matter over and again, and maybe you had pushed it to the back of your mind or the bottom of your heart. But today, God resurfaced that word, that conviction, that thought, and He wants you to do something with it. Can I please ask you not to limit the Holy One of Israel? Don't tie the hands of God. Don't make it in your life to where Jesus could do no mighty work. Please don't do that. God wants to rebuild something in your life. God wants to restore something in our lives. God wants to work and do something great. If you're saved and you're listening and you heard the message today, whether you're here on the lot or whether you're listening by live stream, I pray that you would bow your head right now, and if God spoke to you, you would get that matter right and say, God, forgive me. I've taken you for granted. The church, my brethren, the Bible, your nearness, the secret place. God, I don't want to take these things for granted. I want your will to be done, and I want you to do a mighty work in my life. Would you do that if you're a believer? Would you? And then if you're watching, or if you're here today and you've never been saved in the grace of God, let me please impress upon your heart the importance of having your sin forgiven. Jesus has passed by your way again. If you're lost and you're listening to this, I doubt this is the first time you've ever heard that Jesus loves you. I doubt this is the first time you've ever heard that Jesus wants to save you. I pray it wouldn't be the last time. He's passed by. He wants to do something in your heart. Would you trust Him? Would you bow in your heart and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus died and was buried and rose again the third day. Come into my life and save me from my sin. If you'll pray a prayer similar to that and mean it in your heart, asking God for forgiveness, He'll save you by His grace. Father, thank you for holding off the rain somewhat that we might hear clearly what your message was to us this morning. Thank you for your word. And thank you that you're patient and persistent. That you will give us numerous opportunities in life. Help us to seize them. Help us to live our lives not in unbelief through a lack of faith, but help us to live our lives strong in faith, giving glory to our God. In Jesus' name, amen.